Thank you for being here this morning. If you were at the Fall Festival yesterday, thank you for being there. I know some of you couldn't make it, couldn't be there, and we understand, but we did miss you. But we had a great time yesterday, a great time of fellowship and fun, and I know the kids all enjoyed it as well. There was a man that was fresh out of business school. The young man was looking for a job, and so he answered a want ad from an accountant there. When the boy went in to be interviewed, this accountant was nervous. He had ran this small business he had started himself, and he told the man, I need someone with an accounting degree. But mainly, I'm looking for someone to do my worrying for me. And the man said, excuse me? The accountant said, listen, I worry about a lot of things. I have a lot of things on my plate, a lot of things in my life. And he said, I want you, your job is going to be to take all the money worries off of me. You worry about that. And you take care of it in such a way that I won't have to. And the guy said, okay, I see. Now, how much does a job pay? And the man asked, I'll start you out at $80,000. He's like, $80,000? Wow. You know, fresh out of school, $80,000? And then he started to think. And so he asked the man, how can you afford to pay me $80,000 with a small business? And the owner said, that's your first worry. You know, there was a man that fought a lion and a bear. His older brothers ridiculed him. In fact, he fought a man that was 9'10". You probably know who I'm talking about now. People tried to kill him several times. People that he liked, people that he trusted, his own friends, tried to kill him time and time again for doing the right thing. He fought in many wars. He had a child die. His one son killed another son. One of his sons disowned him for years. And when you read the book of Psalms, you often see him as being sick, even to the point of death. And above all that, he had a kingdom to run. He had to take care of people. However, regardless of what was happening in his life, good or bad, David always turned to the Lord. He always turned to the Lord. And the reason he could turn to the Lord is because the Lord understood anxiety. The Lord understood worry. And he knew the Lord is the only one that could get to the root of the problem and fix it. He knew all these trusted advisors, all these guys, and we use today counselors and things like that. They're good. They help us. But none of them can get to the root of the problem the way that God can. None of them can take care of it the way that God can. And I think it's amazing that those that suffer a lot worry very little. You ever notice that in life? Those that really suffer in life often have very little worry in their life, and yet those that never suffer often have a lot of worries. But do we believe the way that David believed? Do we really trust God? Do we really trust that God is going to take care of our worries, of our anxieties? Do we really trust that? Do we really trust that God cares for us? That God still watches over us? Even when life is full of circumstances that make us uneasy, that threaten our lives, that threaten the lives of those that we love dearly, do we still trust God? I don't know. But I do know that we wouldn't worry so much if we believed that God was with us. You see, we're not much different than David. We live in a world full of anxiety. We live in a world filled with worry. Because all of us have experienced sleepless nights, sick stomachs, mental breakdowns, depression, high blood pressure. Some turn to drugs, tobacco, alcohol. But why? Because of anxiety. Because of worry. In fact, our English word for worry comes from a word who at its root means to strangle, to choke. And that is what anxiety and that is what worry does to our lives. It chokes the life out of us. It chokes what is happening in our lives in the present. It chokes that and it takes that away from us. Worry eats us alive. And don't sit here for a second and think, well, you know what? I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. I'm immune to those things. I'm glad you are, but you're still going to worry in life. And if you're young and you hadn't had much to worry about yet, don't worry. It's going to come. Worry and anxiety will come to your life. It touches the life of almost every family. It touches us in different ways, in different circumstances. The educated worry because they know too much. The uneducated worry because they don't know enough. The rich worry because they've got too much, and the poor worry because they have so little. The old worry because they want to be young again, and the young worry because they want to be old. And those that have no job worry because they don't have a job, and those that worry, those that have a job worry about their job, and the list goes on. We worry about things in life. We have anxiety about things in life. And Jesus couldn't have done a better job explaining what he did in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I pray that you still have your Bibles open, your tablets open, whatever it is. I want us to read verses 25 through 34. And if you underline or highlight on your tablets or whatever you're using, I want you to be ready because I want you to highlight or underline a few things. So in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, Jesus says, "For this reason, I say to you," underline this, "do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat, what you'll drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food? Isn't life more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Underline this, "Are you not worth much more than they?" God says you're more important than they are, and he provides for them. And he says, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" In other words, God says, don't waste your time worrying. You're taken away from your life. He says, "Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you?" Underline this, "you of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things." And he says this, "for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things." God knows that we need these things. And one of our favorite verses, "but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." You can underline this if you want. "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Isn't that right? Friends, when we worry, we show a lack of faith. We show a lack of faith. Jesus said in Matthew 6:30 that those that worry manifest little faith. If you're a child of God this morning, and I want you to know you have a heavenly Father. And for you to act like that you don't, asking, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? In the eyes of God, that is to act like an unbeliever. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, wasn't it God the Father that said, "Listen, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you." God is not a liar. God keeps his word. He keeps his promises. The Christian that worries, the Christian that worries believes that the God of heaven that created all, that he could redeem us, that the God broke the shackles of Satan, that he takes us from a life that was doomed to hell, and he says, "You know what? I'm giving you an opportunity to go to heaven." The God that can do that, the God that can create all things, the God that wakes us up every single morning, but for some reason, a lot of Christians think that God can't get me through the next couple of days. That sounds a little ridiculous, doesn't it? It sounds like we're delivering a blow to God. "God, I know you said you can do all these things, and I just don't think I can trust you right now. God, I know you've done a lot, but God, this is bigger." No, it's not. No, it's not. Nothing is so big that God cannot handle it. Amen? Nothing is so bad in your life that God cannot use it for good. And I understand a lot of bad things happen in our lives. Some of you, a lot of bad things have happened recently. And we start to ask why. I don't know. A lot of people come to me and they said, "Why did this happen, Ryan?" I'm going to tell you, I don't know. But but I trust God because I believe in God. I trust what Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, that we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God. In other words, friends, God is still working in our lives. God hasn't given up on us. God hasn't left and said, all right, you guys just do what you need to do. Try your best to get to heaven. God still works in our life. The Holy Spirit still helps us in our weaknesses. And they do this when good things happen. They do this when bad things happen. But they use it for our good. God has a plan. God has a purpose. The question is, do I trust that? Do I believe that? Something else worry does. Worry causes fear. Because we worry or fear things that have either already happened or that we think will happen. And worrying about which has already happened is like trying to solve sawdust. You ever tried to do that? Doesn't work very good. It's like trying to take all your toothpaste and put it back in the tube. You can't do it. You can't do it. It doesn't make sense. Listen, you cannot undo past deeds. You cannot take back past words. If it involves sin, you need to do what God says do, and you need to meet His conditions, and you need to repent, and He'll forgive you. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, some of that language there says, seek the Lord while He is near. Call upon Him. Return to Him. He will abundantly pardon you. Lloyd George, a former prime minister of England, once said, and this is probably the best quote I've ever found thus far, I've made it a practice in my life to always close the gate behind me. I've made it a practice in my life to always close the gate behind me. You cannot change what's been done, but you can repent. You can't worry about what might happen either. All the stuff that we worry about that we think is going to happen, you know, actually only 40% of that stuff ever happens. Mark Twain said that he is worried over a great deal of things in his life, the most of which never came true. So my question is, what are you worrying about today? What is taking all of your time? Because God knows what you need. But do you trust that? We may not understand it a lot of times, but who does? I try to tell people this. We don't have to understand or know the why. We just need to learn to trust in God, because we know that one day God will redeem us, no matter what happens on this earth. A lot of times we can't control that. But what I do know is that God will redeem me. If I stay faithful to Him, that God will redeem me. And you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and you see countless number of people that happened to. You have people in your own life that have went on that you know that were faithful. They didn't have an easy life, but they stayed faithful to God, and that's what we have to do. Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, wear. Jesus said, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about yesterday. You can't change that. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't even gotten here yet. Worry about today, because that's where we live. Now, let's be honest. A lot of that's easier said than done. Let me give you some helpful ways that I believe that can help us with worry and that can help us with anxiety. Number one, pray more. I believe we understand prayer, don't we? I believe we do. And I think it would be easy just to say pray more and be done with it. But we need to understand that God wants us to pray to Him. He wants to hear from us. He wants to know that we need Him because God loves us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, cast all your anxieties, your worries on Him because He cares for you. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And if you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Once again, are there things in your life right now that you're worried about? I think a lot of us could say, yeah, there are. There's a lot of anxiety in my life. Pray to God. Talk to God about it. Because let me tell you, we serve an all-powerful God. We serve a God that has created all things. We serve a God that has parted the Red Sea. We serve a God that took His Son from heaven and put Him on this earth. And Paul says that you can take your worries and you can give them to Him. God will take it. And God will do with that more than we can even begin to comprehend. And once again, we do it because we trust God. We do it because we have a faith in God. And so no matter what you're worrying about right now in your life, you give it to God and He can give you peace because He promised us that. But you have to trust in Him, trust that He can take care of it. Something else you can live, start living one day at a time. Jesus offered those words of wisdom, I guess, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient the day is its own trouble. One person said that yesterday is buried and tomorrow is unborn. And don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with planning for our future, but there's a difference in planning and having anxiety. There's a difference there. But if all you do is worry about tomorrow, what you're going to do is you're going to miss out on what's really happening today in your life. You're going to miss out on all the blessings that God sends us every single day. And it won't be long until today becomes yesterday. And then what's left? Count your blessings. So many people notice what's wrong with them. So many people notice what's wrong with others around them. And so for many, our world and their lives and our lives are a constant gloom and doom. They look at this and say, this is wrong or that is wrong. And so instead of counting their blessings, what they've started doing is counting the problems. And that is not the abundant life that Jesus promises us. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Count your blessings. We are some of the most blessed people in all of the world. Think about this. How would you feel when you put forth great effort and achieve great accomplishments, and yet someone comes along and they start to complain about what you didn't do? It's like that boss that I think we've all had at one point that made us feel like that everything that we do just simply isn't good enough. We've been there. How do you think God feels or thinks when we are the most blessed people in all the earth, spiritually, physically? And yet a lot of Christians do nothing but bellyache and moan about their problems. I understand we all face difficult things in our life. We face difficult circumstances in our lives. But please don't understand me and think I'm being insensitive. I'm not. I understand we go through a lot. But I think if we can simply count our blessings instead of our problems, we'll beat worry. We'll beat anxiety. And in all of this, I believe the reason people worry is because I think worry is a lot easier than action. I came across a quote worth sharing, and it illustrates this pretty well. It says, worrying is less work than doing something to fix the worry. Everybody wants to save the earth, but no one wants to help mom with the dishes. Worry is an easy way out. Anxiety is an easy way out. God gives us a gift of today, the gift of life. And God wants us to live in the light and live full of joy in today using the resources that He has given us. Don't push yourself into the future. Because when you do, you forfeit today's joy. An anticipated tomorrow that may never even happen. Today is all that you have, for God permits none of us to live tomorrow until it turns into today. Father was watching his young son try and dislodge a heavy stone. The boy couldn't budge it. He couldn't do anything. And so the father yelled, "Are you using all of your strength?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And the father said, "No, you're not, because you haven't asked me to help you yet." If anxiety rules your life, if all you do is worry, will you let us help you this morning? I want you to relax your mind. I want you to relax your heart this morning and know that the God that we serve, the Lord that we serve, was running this world long before we got here. And He's going to be running this world long after we're gone. And so we can cast those things on Him this morning, and He'll take care of us. If you have any need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and sing.